This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. And I trust the program encourages you, challenges you, and blesses you. If you'd like to contact me again, you can go to my website, bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com. There's an email address and a postal address there that you can use, and the program can be re-listened to there. The program can be downloaded from there and passed on to others. You can also reach me at Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Now, we have been going through the Bible and looking at important people in the Bible, and we came to the end of what I wanted to look at with regard to men and women that had made an impact on my life or some of the lessons that I've learned. But we needed to spend some time on the Lord Himself, and we've tried to use as a theme, He is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, from the Song of Solomon, chapter 5 and verse 16. And as far as I'm concerned, He is altogether lovely, and I hope we all can say, this is my beloved, and this is my friend. In order to say that, of course, it's necessary for us to understand why He came, which was to die for our sins, to be a sacrifice for our sins. And when we see Him as altogether lovely, we have to remember that when He was on the cross, He was gruesomely treated and scarred. And even as we look at the scars of the Lord, those are signs of His love. And so we who are saved do say He is altogether lovely. And of course, as we look at the Lord, He is the preeminent person in the Bible. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, we see different aspects of Him. We have progressive revelation. In the Old Testament, we see Him in more of a generic way, in a way we look at Him as God. And then as we go through the Old Testament, we find out, well, He's not just God, He's Jehovah, the ever-existing one. He's the covenant God of the Jews. He's the one who revealed Himself to the Jews. And as we come then into the New Testament, we find out that this one, the Lord, is Jesus. And the Lord Jesus is the one who, as a man, died for our sins. But of course, we are well aware that the cross was preordained of God. When God knew that men would sin, this method of saving us was preordained of God. And the Lord did not cease to exist at the cross or at the grave. He was put into a grave only to be raised again the third day. And even in that grave, we find out, as we study the scriptures, that He never decomposed. He never saw decay. Everybody else that's been put into a grave has decayed. Even with embalming, there's some decay. But the Lord did not decay. He's been raised from the dead, and He sits at the Father's right hand, and He's coming again. And so this is the one that we've been looking at, and we see Him both with regard to His titles and with regard to some of the poetic pictures that we have as the one that we hope is altogether lovely for each one of us today. Now, we've looked at Him last time as the ever-existing one, the Alpha and the Omega, the one who is and who was and who is to come, the one who created all things. We'll find out that all creation was apparently created by the Lord Himself. We say God created us, but really, yes, Jesus is the Lord. He is God. And apparently, when we look at specifics, it's the Lord Himself who was the instrument of creation. But today I want to look at the Lord as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Because in order for the Lord to be who He claimed to be, He had to come from the tribe of Judah. And it's interesting that while we have looked at the Lord as a lamb, actually He's a lamb as it had been slain, which is somewhat of a, and we see him in the book of the Revelation as an angry lamb. We were to be saved from the wrath of the lamb. We'll look at that in a few moments. When we look at those things, we know that the Lord is looked at as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Now, the lion is probably the king of the beasts of the jungle. There's a difference of opinion as to whether lions or tigers are king of the animal kingdom. But tigers are not mentioned in the Bible, but lions are. And when we look at the lions, they picture both Satan and the Lord. But we want you to understand that the Lord wins. The lion is powerful, he's ferocious, and of course the Lord is all powerful. Now, when he died at the cross, he humbled himself and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But that didn't mean that he didn't have his power, and that his power, he just had his power under control. And the power of the Lord is going to be seen in a coming day. But the Lord, in order to be who he claimed to be, had to be from the tribe of Judah. And that's interesting because the priestly class in Israel was from the tribe of Levi. But the Lord was from the tribe of Judah, and that was given to us long before the Levitical priesthood was given to us. In Genesis 49 and verse 10, we read a prophetic passage with regard to Judah. It says, the Lord, or the scepter, that is, that which represents a king and his power, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the people. Now, Shiloh is a place in Israel, but the meaning of the name is not clear. However, there seems to be a clear reference to a future ruling king. So, the Lord came from the tribe of Judah, and you can go back to the lineages that are given to us and establish that. David was from the tribe of Judah as well. Saul was from the tribe of Benjamin, but David was from the tribe of Judah. And the Lord, as we've said before, had to be a descendant of King David, and he had to be a descendant out of the tribe of Judah, which King David was. Now, we're told to be sober. We're told to be careful or vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So we've said that Satan is a ferocious foe, and sometimes he works as a serpent, very deceitfully. And we see that when we look at the Garden of Eden. But he also is confrontational. And I've worked with people who seem to have the nature of Satan within them. And often they start out with flattery and deceit. And when they're caught in the flattery or deceit, then they become confrontational and indicate that they're going to destroy you or your work or your livelihood. And I've been through that with people, and I've watched it. That's the way Satan works. That's not the way the Lord works. Instead of the Lord being a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, the Lord became the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. But in a coming day, those who have rejected him are going to see him as a lion. And he's going to open the sealed judgments that we read about in Revelation chapter 6. Those sealed judgments have to do with coming judgments on this earth with regard to both nations and individuals who have rejected Christ. And when we look at those coming judgments, they're represented, first of all, by seven seals, that is, by seven scrolls that have been sealed up. And no one in heaven or earth was able to open those seals, and that's because none of us are sinless. None of us have died on a cross to avoid the judgment, to help people avoid the judgment that's coming. But the elders in heaven said, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David," and here again, we have him as the offspring or a descendant of David, "has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." And so this is, it wasn't really seven scrolls, it was one scroll with seven seals. And we look at the Lord, and he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And there were beasts in heaven, and those beasts in heaven were, which he saw, we're going to look at in Revelation chapter 13, was like a lion. Was like a shepherd. His feet were like the feet of a bear, his mouth like the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and throne and great authority. Now, what I'm reading about is a coming person who some call the Antichrist. In Revelation 13, there's two people mentioned. Well, one is apparently a Gentile ruler, and the second one is apparently a Jewish ruler. Both are Antichrist, so when you say the Antichrist, that's probably not totally accurate, but there is two people here that are going to try to control the world, and they're going to try to get the worship that only belongs to the Lord, and this is going to be during the tribulation period. And so the beast which rises in Revelation 13 is really a political system that has its roots in the old empires that are mentioned in the Bible. And but as we look at this man with this power, he has the mouth like the mouth of a lion. And I take it that means he's confrontational. And so we're often confronted by difficulties in our life. And those difficulties are difficulties that Satan wants us to be afraid of. He wants us to fear them. And when we look at those difficulties, particularly when it comes to the difficulty of trusting in the Lord, many people are confronted with the fact that if they trust in the Lord, their relatives are going to reject them. Many Jewish people have faced that. Many Muslim people have faced that. Their relatives are going to reject them. Their friends are going to reject them. And even in this country, we find out that a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is supposed to fit a certain mold, which frankly I don't fit. I believe that we are supposed to love God and love our neighbor, and I think that there's an awfully lot about religion today that violates the principle of loving your neighbor. And while I know I don't do it perfectly, at least that's what I would like to do. But when you try to be what a Christian ought to be, Satan comes along and says, if you do it the way God says for you to do it, you're going to be destroyed. You're going to be unhappy. You're going to be rejected. And who wants to be rejected? Well, the Lord was rejected, and he was rejected for us. And so we have a lion that is right now roaring, trying to destroy us, and we have the Lord, who as the Lion of the tribe of Judah is going to judge the earth for rejecting him as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Now, friend, you can look at this logically. You may say, well, that day is not coming, but if you look at what's happening in the world today, we need to be prepared for those coming judgments, because they could happen overnight. They could happen tomorrow. They could happen tonight. The Lord could come and set in motion these things that he's going to do to a Christ rejecting world, and you don't want to be a part of that. And I hope that you understand that as a sinner, you need a Savior that loves you and is a lamb and not a roaring lion. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon this program and upon all who have listened. We thank thee for thy love. We thank thee for thy salvation. We commit ourselves into your care in our Savior's name. Amen.